Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another broadcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And guess what? I have a question for you. Do you have a fake ID? Do you have an alias? In today's broadcast, I offer a simple quiz to see if we're living with a fake ID. I also show just how pervasive the false self is within our lives. Did you know that religion as well as the social sciences are on a big quest to find our true self? Join me now as we take a bunch of psychobabble and quickly turn it on its head as we see beyond our pseudonym and learn what ultimately happens to everything that's false. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for coming back. I'm so glad when you tune in. Welcome to another broadcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach. I'm so glad to have you here. Welcome to the broadcast. Welcome to Sunday. You know, folks, I saw a TED Talk circulating around Facebook today, or not today, but this week. It was talking about how people are afraid to be wrong. We've created a culture where being wrong is the worst thing that can happen, and therefore it stifles creativity. It stifles the expansion and growth of our humanity. And man, I couldn't agree more. And you know, you might find these talks, these sermons, these podcasts, these radio broadcasts, and find them and say, man, this guy is all over the place. This guy is so different. He's not like what I'm hearing before. That is true. And when it comes to the Bible, folks, I'm not afraid to be wrong, because I do it with conviction. I give study and time to all of this stuff. I don't just make it up. I'm not just pulling it out. I'm not just getting the Bible to say what I want to say. I'm doing all the right homework. But you folks, sometimes those conclusions can take us into some new and far-reaching places. And I think it's good for all of us to be stretched in that direction. So that's my goal. That's what I'm trying to do. If you like it, which many of you do, I love to hear your feedback. Thanks so much for writing in. Go to kevinwinder.com, sign up for Winder's Windshield. If you do, you'll get all my podcasts, all my radio broadcasts, all my blog posts, and any content that comes your way. Go to kevinwinder.com, sign up for Winder's Windshield. And like I say every week, if you do that today, I'll be so glad that you did. Folks, we are in a, I don't know if it's a series or not, but I'm calling this Conversation Starters. This is going to be one of those sermons, one of those talks that is loaded with little nuggets that you'll be able to hang on to. And if you're able to follow the train of thought, when I get to the end, this should disrupt something in your thinking. It should kind of clink a little bit against some of your frameworks. I'm just giving you a heads up about that right now. I'm not doing it for shock value. I'm not doing it for any other reason other than to kind of stretch you a bit. And I think you'll find that the conclusions are fair. The conclusions are biblical. The conclusions are worthy of your consideration. That's the whole goal of what we're trying to do in Conversation Starters. And so what are we talking about this week? You're probably wondering. Well, man, with a setup like that, I guess we should get on with it. Today we're talking about the end of the fake ID. That's right, the end of the fake ID. And when we talk about spirituality, we talk about religion, we talk about faith, we talk about personal development, we talk about inner transformation, we have to realize that the lion's share of people, most of us, we live slightly below the horizon of our awareness. We're not really awake. We're just kind of going through life, kind of numb. And only occasionally do circumstances cause us to momentarily see beyond our immediate needs or desires. Maybe a tragedy strikes. Maybe you're standing at a graveside. Maybe something amazing happens. You have a newborn. And, you know, something happens and it just resets all your priorities. And everything that was such a big problem yesterday, it doesn't seem like such a big deal right now as you're staring in this moment, right? Those kind of moments that are existential and kind of transcend our busy, distracted, numbed out life come only so often, right? And so it's really hard to get out of our own way. I mean, we live in a world where you're just programmed to just go on autopilot. And so the ability to see beyond everything is actually spiritual seeing. It's what we call spirituality. Now, spirituality is awareness of another plane of reality beyond ourselves. And so even at a low level, when the two-year-old realizes that the world doesn't completely revolve around them, they are gaining spiritual awareness. When you grow up and you start realizing that there's other people in the world and you need to be conscientious of them, that is spirituality. And so you're seeing another plane of reality beyond yourself. It can go beyond our humanity. It can go beyond our terra firma. And you can get into spirituality that is aware of another plane of a reality beyond our empirical world, right? And so a spiritual mind is aware of transcendent reality. Do you realize that? A spiritual mind creates space for transcendent reality. And it does it on its terms. But you see, the natural mind, which I call the religious mind, it either denies transcendent reality or it insists it only exists on our terms. Like if there is something that's out there, it's kind of like the scientific person saying, well, you might think that was a ghost, but it turns out that it was an electromagnetic field of some force that we can't really explain, but that's what it is. And so they're basically redefining transcendent reality into their own terms, their familiar terms. And that's something that we all do. I'm not picking on science for that. But when it comes to spirituality, we have to realize that there are different planes of reality, and most of us don't really access it very well or very often, okay? And our lives kind of fade in and out of spiritual and natural reality every day. Now, I say all that to kind of set this stage, because we have to look at what our default mode of operation is in this world. I mean, if we've got all these planes of reality, what's our default mode? Well, it's always egocentric, right? I mean, consider the kids. You don't have to tell your children to start thinking about themselves. They're already hardwired to be self-focused. From the time they come out of the womb, it takes everything you can do to train them to be focused on others. So our viewpoint is really all that we typically understand. Do you get that? That people interpret everything. In fact, everybody listening to me right now is interpreting it with the level of understanding that they have and nothing more. And we can't get away from that, right? We all live just below the horizon of awareness. Our viewpoint is all that we really have, and spirituality is the only correction for that. Do you realize that? Anytime you make a correction to your self-focus, to your ego, to your pride, you are engaging in spirituality. You are doing soul work. Now, that's a broad stroke. I know. I realize I paint with those sometimes, and maybe you're not used to framing things in those big categories, but stick with me. I think this is going to pay off here in the end. But my point is that if we live below the horizon of awareness, then we construct the world around ourselves. See, and within us, the spiritual longing is to be known. Deep within us, every cry of the human heart and this human soul wants to be known, wants to be loved, wants to be understood. And that causes us to try on various identities throughout life. Now, I mean, just look at the history. As you start as a child, you kind of identify with your family, you identify with your neighborhood, you identify with, you know, these are my brothers, this is my sister, this is our last name, these are my aunts, uncles, my mom, and my dad. As teens, we try on identities of our peers, right? You might come from a family that wears country western clothes, and then all of a sudden you start dressing like a cheerleader, or you start dressing like a football player, or a businessman, or whoever it is, depending on your peers in school. You try on all these different kinds of identities, people moving in and out of different looks. And it doesn't just stop in high school. It's not like we just immediately grow out of it, because as adults, we just wear the identities of our occupations. Right? You know, gosh, you're a mountain biker. You look and act and dress like a mountain biker. Or I'm a successful business person. So I dress for success. I dress like a golfer. I dress like a bowler. Whatever it is, you find your occupation and you identify with it. I'm a doctor. I'm a dentist. I'm a truck driver. And then we take on the identities of our communities as well. You know, I live in this neighborhood. I'm part of the baseball club. I do Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts. I do these hobbies. These hobbies are who I am. I'm a biker. I'm a, you know, mountain biker. That's kind of like what I say, you know. Well, we have all these organizations. I'm part of this religion. I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Mormon. I'm this. I'm that, right? We take on the identities of communities. And so all through life, we're taking on these identities, and we really struggle to shed these over our, the over-identification process. Sometimes you see people who over-identify with the tragedies that have happened in their life. Oh, I'm a victim of crime. I was left alone. I was abandoned. I was neglected as a kid. I was abused as a kid. I'm an addict. You know, I'm an alcoholic. We just over-identify with our weaknesses or our failings. I'll never make it. I'll never be good enough. I'm not very tall. I'm not very good looking. I'm way too fat. I'm whatever it is. You know, and then on the other side, you see this, we latch way too much onto our identities of success and power and influence. You know, hey, I got a big 401k, I got a fancy car, I live in this nice neighborhood, and I have this kind of a job, and look at my business card, and aren't I great? You see, all this stuff throughout life is really just living below the horizon. I mean, without seeing the island that's just beyond the horizon, we all make this very fatal mistake. We actually think that we are such things. And without spiritual seeing, without seeing beyond everything, we inevitably trade in our true self for a fake ID. Now, Jesus taught that we could gain the whole world and forfeit ourself, Luke 9:25. That we would forfeit ourself. What he's saying is that you can live your whole life under a fake ID. Now, how do we know? How do we know if we're living with a fake ID? And so I have a really simple quiz. I have two question quiz for you, okay? Pay attention. Here it is. Question number one. Is your happiness in life based upon any of the following four things? Family and friends? Social status, such as that whether you're married, what your job is, where you live, whether you're popular. Number three, financial status. Is your happiness in life based on financial status? Number four, material possessions. Is your happiness in life based on material possessions? Right? So if you find yourself that you kind of like your life, and it's because of friends and family, it's because of your social status, it's because of your financial status, it's because of your material possessions. Or if you kind of don't like your life, and it's because of your friends and family, it's because of your social status, your financial status, or your material possessions. That's a big issue. Okay? And here's question two. How much of your life is spent running from the past or running to the future, right? You're either trying to avoid dealing with something that happened in the past, you're ashamed, or you're just dwelling on it. You live as a constant, perpetual victim. I'm never going to get out of this, blah, 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 right? Or you're constantly running to the future. Like you are like, well, one day this is going to happen. One day, and you're just in auto drive because you're trying so hard to make it. And then that one day you're going to obtain this big goal. And then what? You see, all the religions at their highest level access this quest for the true self. We call it the soul. The true self and the soul are the same thing. The biblical word for soul is psuche. And this is where we get our word psychology from. So even among the social sciences, the quest to find the true self, like if you go to a therapist, you are trying to do self work, soul work, to find out what is really real about you. And beneath all the noise and the distraction of life is the goal of finding the true self. It's true self-discovery. Now, John Calvin, a great reformer, said in his Institutes that the knowledge of God and the self are inseparable, and it's not easy to discern. In other words, this is a very spiritual process to learn about yourself, to try and find your true self, to try and know what your soul is. And it's not just your impulses. It's not just your tendencies. It's not just your longings in your heart, although they all point to something at it. You have to have something to get beyond it. You have to be able to swim over the horizon a little bit. Now, we all know that we live under a fake ID when we are not seeking self-improvement. We all know people like this. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you don't care about being any better than you are today. Maybe you haven't really improved or worked on anything in a really long time. Folks, I hope that's not the case. And if it is, maybe today you could change that idea about yourself. Trust me, nobody listening is good enough as they are. And so if you're living without trying any self-improvement, you are living under a fake ID. And the evidence is that you focus on self-gain, you focus on self-promotion, you focus on self-comfort instead of self-improvement. You see, the fake ID, the false self, it hides our ego. It is our ego, right? And it distracts everything. And it hides just the depth of how hideous we can actually be at times. I mean, do you really know yourself? Do you know how bad you can actually be? If left unfettered, unchained, what would happen? Right? The fake ID is, it's always tribal. It always picks teams. It's dualistic. It is very dualistic. It's always either or. If you're a black and white person and you struggle with the nuances in the middle, your fake ID has a stronghold on you. If you get offended easy, your fake ID has a stronghold on you. The fake ID is always quick to anger. It lashes out at criticism. Do you know anybody who just can't take any criticism without lashing back out, without getting revenge, without being hurt, without being emotionally distraught? The fake ID knows that it stands on a house of cards. Bible calls in Matthew the house built on shifting sand. And because the fake ID is directly tied to our externals, you know, like, just think about it. Like, if your ego is tied to your job title in the corner office, as soon as you lose that corner office, guess what? You've lost yourself. You're right. The moment it's lost, the fake ID is lost with it. So it's very, very much tied to externals. And it spends countless calories protecting and comparing itself, measuring itself to everything else. It lives with a scorecard. If any of that rings true to you, folks, then the fake ID is way bigger in your life than maybe you even realized. It's true for all of us. It's not like we ever escape it. It's just that the spiritual process of spirituality means that we're dealing with it. We actually take it on. We actually do something about it. And so it goes without saying that the fake ID causes us to do things that we wish we didn't do. I mean, we lie, we deceive, we hoard, we scheme, we manipulate. It puffs us up in pride. And those that fail to free themselves from their fake ID will inevitably conclude that they are what they do. And that's the deception. It's that our doing creates our being. And so if you tell a lie, then according to this, then you're a liar. If you stole something, then you're a thief. If you fail at something, then you're a failure. If you succeed at something, then you are a success. And all these things can only be partially true at the best. You see, that's not really true. It's not that if you tell a lie, you're a liar. It's that you are beloved who told a lie. You see, there's just a nuance there that changes everything. Spirituality is different than the fake ID. Spirituality is about being. It's about doing, not doing. It's about being. You see, our being is what leads to our doing, not vice versa. See, we do bad things because we don't know who we are. In fact, bad things, as we kind of define them, are really only us going after good things in bad ways. Now, I can explain that later. You can check out my book, Getting Better When You Can't, where I go into that in great detail. Now, I can hear some of those in the audience. Kev, you're kind of softening it here. You're making us sound like we're probably better off than we really are. What about sin? What about punishment for sin? I mean, what do you got to say about that, Kev? You know, and let me just tell you, this is where it gets really interesting. And this is where I'm going to pivot, and I am going to get extremely theological on you. So put on your thinking caps, put on your deeper considerations, because we're going into the deep end of the pool. You might want to strap on your floaties, okay? Here goes. Think about this. There was never a time when any human soul was not in the perfect mind and wisdom of God the Creator. Every single person existed within God's perfect mind and wisdom. Psalm 139:16 says that before any day existed, you knew that altogether, right? It means before any of us came to be, God possessed a complete knowledge of the real us. Now, that true self that existed before we were born will exist in truth forever and ever after we die. Now, how can I say that? Let me tell you how. It cannot be lost. The knowledge of you that God has can never be lost so long as God is omniscient, which means all-knowing. You see, if a God who all of a sudden you are born and come on the scene and that becomes new knowledge, then that means before you were born, God could not have been omniscient. If knowledge can be taken away, if God knows anything about you now and somehow you can be lost forever, then that means God's omniscience is going to be diminished. He will actually know less after that than he knows now, and that's impossible. So based on the omniscience of God, this true self that's found in God can never be lost, and it was never a time where it didn't exist inside the perfect mind of God. There can be no new or lost knowledge in God. That's the whole point of his omniscience. And since God is perfect truth, then, like Thomas Merton says, the false self is the only thing God cannot know anything about. Matthew 7:21, right? Think about that verse when all these people are coming to God saying, didn't I do all this great religious stuff for you? And he says, I never knew you. Why? Because they were doing it out of a false sense of being. Light displaces all darkness. So now I'm going to go to the end of the Bible, and I'm going to talk about Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Now, this depicts a great day of judgment, the day of separation, right? And here John lists all the horrible things that people do as determined by the book of deeds, you know, which is, I need to point out, that is a different book than the book of life, right? The book of life is every single soul who has ever lived, and it is listed, their true name is listed in the book of life. Now, then John says, what's amazing in verse 8, he says, that part of them, to meras oton. The part of them. Your Bible might read it, their part. But the correct rendition is that part of them will be burnt in the lake of fire. So what he's saying is that all of the false self, the pseudo, right? That's the word. All the false will be in the lake of fire. So that's the future of the fake ID. The fake ID cannot exist because it's not true. It can't be with God in God's perfect wisdom and knowledge because God is perfect truth and can know nothing that's false. And so the great separation, the great day of judgment is this time where God takes the true soul that he's always known and he sheds it, strips it off of the false part that is known to lie and cheat and deceive and do all those horrible things. All of that will be consumed and lost forever. Because why? Because it's the fake ID. And what's left is that which is in the book of life, the real soul, right? It says every false name won't be there, right? So if you built your whole life based on your career in your corner office and your whatever, and you get there, it's not going to be there. That's because it was a false self, right? Anything, it says anyone not written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. All the false name, all the pseudonames, all the fake IDs, they're gone. They're destroyed. What's left? The true self. That's all. That's all that can possibly exist. Now, does that change your whole framework for the afterlife? I know that was big. Now, you might think my cheese is completely slid off the cracker, and you might think, hey, you're just pulling this out of thin air. I'm going to show you another verse in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 15. This is Paul. Paul's talking about the same thing. He's talking about the day, right? The day of judgment. And he says that if anyone's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And so he's talking about this foundation. You got to build your life on the real thing. You got to build it on the real thing. If you build it on the false thing, you build it with a bunch of straw and rubble and everything else. Then on the day when the fire comes to test your wall, it's going to all burn up. But guess what? It says he himself will suffer loss, but he will himself will be saved. Amazing. See, Paul got it. Paul understood that there is this pseudo self that is going to be lost, and there's the true self that is always found and always known to be found in God's perfect wisdom and mind and being. This is who you are. This is why I tell you over and over, week after week, that your true name is Beloved. And that will never change. That's who you are. If you tell a lie, you are simply Beloved who told a lie. That changes whether or not you really want to do a life of lying, doesn't it? You see, the admonishment now is very, very clear. Do everything that you can to know your true self. Recognize your false self. Raise that awareness above the horizon. Work really hard to free yourself from a life that's defined by a fake identity. And yes, you'll spend a life constantly back and forth, in and out of this reality. It's not going anywhere. It's not like you're going to eradicate your fake ID. It's part and parcel to you because it's necessary. There's something beautiful about it. But what's more beautiful is the struggle with it. The struggle creates something beautiful in the end. So engage in the process. That's just called spirituality, seeing beyond everything. Find yourself in God. Find yourself within the eternal moment. And open your hand. Turn loose of anything that pulls you into the past or would pull you into the future. Just let it go. It doesn't mean give up your ambitions. It means surrender the outcomes of your ambitions. See, the God you discover is the very shepherd of your soul. And this is the shepherd in whom you've always existed. And this is the shepherd in whom you always will exist. Now, why would we try and be anything other than that?